This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Also, Twitterella fired. So your thoughts on the Flyers in light of yet another shift, another change. And we'll get to some of the highlights from that Phillies victory yesterday. It was exciting on the back end. Not great for a while, but exciting on the back end. We'll play some of the highlights shortly. Let's go to Claire right now in Collinsworth. Good morning, Claire.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hi, Claire.
Hi, first-time caller and perhaps the first-time in-person listener last week at the Borgata with my mom, Sue, if you remember.
Oh, we met Claire Joe last week, and her mom came down and watched the show for an hour.
Nice.
It was pretty cool.
Claire, I was not here, so I did not meet you, but I'm glad.
Claire.
We were down there for Beat the Hammer specifically, I will say. But yeah, I just wanted to thank you guys for like the warm welcome.
So, Claire,
and, you know,
would you say that Joe let you down?
Maybe a little.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that.
I know. And he should just accept the win for today, too. And it wasn't a poorly worded question.
So. Absolutely.
There you go.
Win with grace. No, Claire, it was so nice to meet you last week.
That's
yeah,
very
you
cool.
too. We had a really good time. But I do have an answer of a duo.
Sure.
Shrek and Donkey.
You got it.
Oh, I like
all right, Claire.
That was a really good one.
I like that.
You got to love Donkey. Joe does not love Donkey. Joe dislikes Donkey.
Well, I haven't seen them.
But you think Eddie Murphy doing animated stuff.
Nonsense.
Is right.
Yeah, total
it's
nonsense.
Not nonsense.
Why?
He's really good at it.
Why?
Because
why
Joe
just
thinks
Eddie
it's
Murphy
like
doing
beneath
it?
Him,
because yeah, dude, Eddie,
and
Murphy,
beneath
dude,
Eddie Murphy.
Murphy was raw.
He thinks it's
and then all of a
Joe
sudden he's doing voiceover
that
work.
He's in Shrek.
Do you know who else did like Cameron
Shrek.
Diaz voices that?
Yeah, but Cameron Diaz wasn't raw.
Movies.
No.
These are also wonderful movies.
No,
like
no.
Everyone enjoys
no,
these movies,
no.
young and old alike.
No,
like Joe won't
like
even
Antonio
give
Shrek
Banderas, a chance.
Antonio Banderas, I think.
Yes, he was Axl Rose. Axl Rose. What was his name? Axl Foley. He was Axl Foley.
Axl Rose.
I mean, this guy was one of the coolest of all time, and all of a sudden he's doing kids movies as a voiceover guy. What is that nonsense?
What?
Yeah, and he's awesome at it, and he's hilarious.
What would be the equivalent?
Hold on, real quick. Let me ask you a question.
What?
If they offered you, and at the end, I think he's made like $100 million off
he's
these Shrek
movies.
He's
probably made the most money off of the
Shrek. Would you do it? Would you?
But James, I'm not cool.
It doesn't matter.
Eddie Murphy
like
in the 1980s
the
may have been. Eddie Murphy may have been the most cool guy in the entire 1980s.
I agree, and he had to
now
do
he's
like
a talking ass.
3 days. Nicely
nice,
done.
Right?
He had 3 days
that
of work for like $100 million. I'd do that, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, so would I, but...
Oh, there you go.
Well,
you can't rip the guy. You would love to do what Eddie Murphy did.
Well, I'll say this. If I had done Raw and Delirious and Beverly Hills Cop and Coming to America, I wouldn't need the money. All right?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
you know there's so many people who made tons of money who lost it, right?
And Saturday Night Live. All right, let's get to how it sounded yesterday on the Phils here on WIP. It was, the game was kind of an adventure. It was a million strikeouts early, both teams, particularly when the Phillies were hitting. But the Phils bats came alive in the seventh inning. Let's go through some of the big moments from the game, including Bryce tying it up.
Sims kicks and deals, and the pitch is hit high in the air, deep center field. Young going back to the track, nearing the wall. He's out of room, and Harper with another opening day home run, his first as a Philly. Number six in his career to dead center field, and he's tied the game 1-1.
You know, that was a shot, too, because that's center field, and that's also pretty far over the wall. I mean, he drilled that thing. So that was all right. The boys, they're showing up here. They're showing us something. And then, of course, it was just two batters later. So you got Bryce in the two-hole. You got Schwarber in the four-hole. And Schwarber also goes deep.
The first pitch is hit high in the air, deep right field. On the run, Cruz at the track, looking up at the wall, and it's gone! It clears over the out-of-town scoreboard, and Kyle Schwarber follows Harper with a home run of his own here in the seventh, and the Phillies have taken the lead. It's 2-1.
All right, so you got a 2-1 lead that becomes 3-1 on a wild pitch. Now, John, for those that missed the game...
Kepler scored it.
Yeah, no,
I know he really didn't do anything.
No, but
in order to get on base again, Max Kepler continues to be active and productive.
He's huge, too. Like, he is a big boy, Max Kepler.
You're right. Yeah. You're right.
You can feel it when he crouches down in the box. He still looks huge. Yeah.
It's just so much different than everything we've had out there in the outfield the last few years. He feels like a real live MLB player who can get stuff done.
You saying he's better than Rojas?
It's been a what we've had out there has just been like a pale.
We'll say
a pale fact.
You have to hope he stays healthy.
Look,
he has a history of
here's what we'll all remember: Didi's first game with the Phils, home run.
Wow,
Didi's second game with the Phils, home run. Didi after that, nothing.
Nada.
Why do you have to bring Didi into this?
Because that was a good debut. I mean, I got John giving Kepler praise here. I'm just saying, grain of salt. It's taking we'll see.
All right.
We'll see.
I get you.
All right, now, John, give the audience, for those that missed it, because the Phils, of course, in our sequence here have a 2-1 lead, becomes a 3-1 lead on the wild pitch. But then the adventure with Romano. Floor is yours, John. What did you notice from this guy?
Well, the first thing I noticed was you walk a guy, you hit a guy, it doesn't help your cause in any way. That's really the problem. I didn't think his pitching was poor. I felt like the Nationals did a nice job of getting the bat on some of those balls that really I didn't expect them to. But he has wild eyes, crazy eyes. The John Travolta eyes, that's really the biggest thing that I took away from that. Not bad.
No, he was horrible.
In his debut.
He was horrendous.
I didn't think it was. I felt like some of those pitches were not terrible pitches. The Nationals somehow got a bat on it. And so I am giving him a bit of a pass. It wasn't good enough.
Well, I'm not out on the guy, but I'm not giving him a pass.
It was
what
you're
saying. Horrendous.
I don't think it was horrendous.
Well, the game went to extra innings because of that guy. All right, so let's get to extra innings.
That's not a great result, especially against a team that, like the Nats, is not good. That was my biggest problem with the whole evening. It's the Nationals. They were one of the worst teams I'd ever seen last year.
Yeah, they were bad.
And it doesn't seem like they're even in our echelon.
No, they're not.
What the heck is going on here?
All right, so
it's just extenuating circumstances that led to this.
So we got a 3-3 game. We go into extra innings. By the way, nice job. We skipped over the Kirkland thing, but Kirkland had a nice role in getting out of an inning that, to a large extent, he didn't really create. I mean, there's a bloop down the left field line, and there was a hit to center that he kind of thought Stott would get. But anyway, 3-3 game. Boom. 10th inning. Obviously, you start with a dude on second base, get another guy on base, Boehm, with, I think, one of the two biggest hits of the night.
And the pitch to Boehm. He swings and blasts it. Left center field up the alley, and that will get the job done. And one hops the wall. One run is home. Harper flying around third. He's going to score without a throw, and Alec Boehm delivers a rocket double to left center. It's 5-3 Phillies.
All right, so that was big, but knowing the Phillies had already used a lot of their main relievers, you know, you can't feel totally comfortable yet. But a couple of batters later, when JT did what he did, this is when you knew. Actually, I think it was the two batters later. This is when you knew the Phillies were going to win the game.
The first pitch from Salazar hit in the air down the right field line. It's pretty well hit. Long run, Cruz to the corner, reaching out. It's off his glove. Another run is home. Here comes Schwarber. Ball coming out of the corner, but JT is headed to third, and he's safe. Two more on the board, and the Phillies now lead it 7-3.
All right. So
you know how awesome it is that JT came out of the box full speed, never, ever hesitated from the moment he hit that thing? Had he hesitated, it's possible he gets thrown out at third base, but he believed, and he was rewarded.
He's one of the fastest catchers I've also ever
seen. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he really...
It was great to see that.
He's got wheels.
Great to see that he got rewarded for his persistence.
All right, so you can react to yesterday's Phillies win. Obviously, they closed it out in the bottom of the 10th. Devin was there covering the game for us at WIP. Devin, you were in the in the locker room afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
What was the – I'm not going to use the word
vibe.
Vibes. I just need a different word this year.
Yeah.
What was the mojo?
The mood in the locker room.
Demeanor.
The temperament. What was going on in the locker room postgame?
I mean, you know, it's game one of 162. They were, you know, business as usual, not any celebrations. It was very quiet. It's always pretty quiet in there, especially in the regular
season. Rob Thompson
didn't
give a speech with 161 to go?
No, he did not. He did not. He spoke immediately after the game as well. And, you know, everyone kind of touched on the shadows. Even Zach Wheeler talked about the shadows because, yeah, the shadows prevented the bats on for both teams from being productive to start the game, but Zach Wheeler said he was using that to his advantage, and as he should have. So everyone touched on that, and it was just very much like, yeah, we're glad we won, and on to the next one. You know, going into an off day before our next game with a sour taste in our mouth, had we lost, would not have been a fun feeling.
Yeah.
And now they move on. They're very focused and locked in, it seems, this season. Like, they're not... I have yet to see any, like, crazy, you know, games and dumping water and the daycare shenanigans. I haven't seen any of that.
Yeah, they didn't do that after the game. Bohm was interviewed. There was no Stott coming out, March coming out. Mm-hmm. None of that to do that. So that was a noticeable difference. All right.